Welcome to our current teaching series called Growth Track. Today we're going to be continuing that series as we talk about take your next step. Take your next step. So take your Bible or your device and go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And today we're going to be focusing on the second part of verse number 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 47b. Also inside of your program is a study guide of our message for today. And so if you would look inside your program, you'll find your study guide, and I urge you to use it today. Well, today we're going to continue talking about a growth track. And so have you ever thought about having a growth track? Are you intentional about your spiritual growth? Do you have a track that you're following to help you grow spiritually? Well, the truth is most Christians don't, and honestly, most churches don't. And what I'm sharing with you today is a growth track that you should follow, and it's the growth track that Capital Baptist Church uses to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to talk about the next part of this growth track, and that is grow by bringing. So today we're going to talk about what it is to bring people to Jesus and to bring people to Capital Baptist Church. Before we look into this, let's begin our introduction where I write this. Spiritual maturity means being like Christ. So when we talk about these different things that we're urging us to follow, I mean, it's really about being like Jesus. Jesus, like, for example, bringer. I mean, he was a bringer, right? I mean, that's what he came to do, to bring us, in a right relationship with God. And the Bible says that he will build his church. He wants to bring people to the church. And so spiritual maturity is much about being like Christ. Just let that sink in. Being like Christ. It begins with a decision. Now think about this. It starts with a decision. And what is that decision? To be saved. That's where it begins. Your spiritual maturity starts with that decision. But it continues with what? Spiritual growth. At least twice in Acts 2, 41 through 47, it uses the word they continued. They continued. See, they didn't just stop, after they got saved and made that decision to be saved. No, they continued. They continued. And the fancy name for that is called progressive sanctification. In other words, you're being sanctified, you're being made holy, you're being set apart to God in an ongoing, progressive fashion. And this process, progressive sanctification, requires, key word is it requires. You must do this. You must do this. You must take what? Ongoing next steps. I mean, you got to be constantly taking next steps if you're going to be a maturing Christian, okay? Listen, you don't ever stay the same spiritually. I mean, I had a football coach. Tom Dowling was his name. And he would tell us players, I heard him many, many times, he says, guys, none of us as players, none of us as a team are staying the same. We're either getting better or worse. And honestly, I think that principle is true of the Christian too. I mean, either you're getting better and you're growing or you're going the wrong direction, okay? You're taking next steps away from sanctification. We got to constantly be taking those next steps. Steps of obedience to the Bible. I mean, God teaches us in his word, we take next steps of obedience. And the key to rapid spiritual growth is being in the church a long time. Is that the key? No. The key to rapid spiritual growth is saying yes to God. Always saying yes to God. Don't ever say, later. Don't ever say no to God. Say yes to God. Say yes to God. Our key verse is 2 Peter 3:18. It says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's say that out loud together. 2 Peter 3:18, it's in your notes there. It's also going to be up here on the screen. 2 Peter 3, verse number 18. Let me read it one more time, okay? Then let's read it out loud together. This is our key verse for the series. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, who? Jesus Christ. So don't connect the word grow in Jesus. See, that's spiritual maturity. Grow not to be like Pastor Steve, not to be like your mom, not to be like your dad, not to be like your friend, not to be like your growth group leader, okay? The idea is to grow to be like Jesus. And to him, Jesus, be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's say that out loud together. Here we go. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And the address is 2 Peter 3:18. Okay, that was terrible. Okay, let's do that again, okay? All right, wake up here, folks, okay? You ready? Everybody ready? All right, let's go. Here we go. Don't mumble. I want you to speak it with authority, okay? Here we go. Ready? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3, what? 18. Good job. Way to go. So where can we find a growth track? Well, what better place to look than the first church? I mean, I got to believe that God was very, very careful. I have to believe that God was very, very careful when he chose to describe the first church. Don't you? Don't you think God, I mean, I'm sure, you know, he gave specific details about this church. Exactly what went on. And really what went on, there was a growth track they were on. He described the growth track. And listen, this needs to be the normal church. Okay, you know, every church ought to have an atmosphere of growth. I mean, an incubator of growing people and developing people. I mean, in their walk with the Lord. And so the example to follow, I believe, is the first church. And this was the church at Jerusalem. And it provides a foundational growth track. Now, in your Christian life, I dare say you're going to take for sure hundreds of next steps. And I would even say most of us are going to take thousands of next steps. But these are foundational next steps. I mean, these are like, you know, you got to have all these, okay? Yeah, you're going to take others in your Christian life. But, I mean, these are so foundational that we're looking at in this series. And you're going to discover the five next steps. We've already looked at belonging, connecting, serving. And now today we're going to talk about bringing. And listen, we're going to show you how Capital Baptist Church can help you take them. I mean, because that's why I believe we're here. We are here to lead you in a growing relationship with Jesus. And so we're not just going to tell you what to do. We're going to show you how to do it. We're going to come alongside of you, and we're going to partner with you and partner with God, more importantly, in your spiritual development. So welcome to the next step of our growth track given to us in the early church. Acts chapter 2. Well, we're going to focus on verse 47b, but before we do that, I want us to read verse 41. So the bookends of this description are 41 and 47. So that's kind of the bookends of the description. So 41 through 47 lays out the growth track that the early church, first church, followed, all right? So you got to see the both ends, so to speak. All right, so let's begin in verse 41, Acts 2, 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So the growth track starts out with belonging. That's where you got to start out, okay? And that's the ABCs. Accept Christ, be baptized, and commit to a local church. So belonging is where it starts out, okay? You accept Christ. It says they received the word. The word that was given was the gospel. Jesus saves. Okay, that was the word that had been given in 41 through 40, Acts 2, 14 through 40. We can get that out. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 40, Peter and the other apostles preached a sermon. And the sermon was Jesus saves, all right? And that he's the Messiah, that he has come, and he came to this earth. He died, he was buried, he rose from the grave to give us eternal life. And he tells them in verse 38 to repent of their sin and to come and be saved. And so sure enough, the Bible says they received that word. Then they were baptized. They were baptized. You accept Christ, and then you're baptized, right? You should be baptized as quick as possible after you're saved. Because baptism is not the graduation of the Christian life. It's the introduction to the Christian life, all right? And then they committed to the church. They were added to the church. They made a commitment, an intentional commitment to be added. In today's culture, we typically use the term membership. They became members of that church. They were added to a church. So that's the front end. But listen, look at the back end, verse 47. Verse 47b says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were what? Being saved. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. There it is, folks. What do we see here? We see reproduction going on. Those that were saved and baptized and added, what did they do? They went out and God used them to be bringers, to bring people to be saved, baptized, and what? Added to the church. There was a spiritual reproduction that happened. Okay, this is a growth track that they're following. Let me read it again. Acts 2:47. These same people in verse 41, what did they do in verse 47? The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And look at that word daily. Daily, daily, daily. What does that mean? That means they were out there in the community talking about Jesus. It wasn't just a Sunday thing. It was a daily thing because that was their lifestyle, right? They realized they were to represent Jesus wherever they go. It was a daily thing. People were being saved every day. And wouldn't that be awesome that in our church people were saved every day? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing, okay? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing that people were being saved every day at Capital Baptist Church? Wow. Wow. Well, what can we do? Well, we got to be a bringer, okay? We have to be a bringer. So let's talk about this. Grow by bringing. They brought people to Jesus. They brought people to Jesus, and they brought people to their church, okay? They brought people to Jesus, and they brought people to their church. They were bringers that God used in a great and mighty way. So let's talk about grow by bringing. Now, before we get into this, I want to highlight something that's not in my outline today that's very important, okay? Listen, evangelism is a huge topic. I mean, it is a massive topic. It is like a diamond. It is multifaceted. It has so many different angles, if you will, to it. So really, it's impossible in a sermon to really cover evangelism in a proper way, okay? But there's two things that were highlighted in your growth guide that I want to just mention, okay, before I get into this, okay? There's two things missing from my sermon today that I just want to quickly highlight, okay? The good news is it wasn't missing from the growth guide. And so hopefully, when you go to your growth group today, if you go to a growth group, and I hope you will, you'll talk about this, okay? But the bottom line is, you're not going to be able to do anything that I'm talking about here today without the power, number one, of prayer. The power of prayer. And number two, the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you've got to pray. In fact, one of the questions on the growth guide this week under the prayer part was, who are you praying for? I mean, is there anybody you are praying for by name to be saved? That's important to think about. And then secondly, the power of the Holy Spirit. See, most of us are afraid to be a bringer. Most of us are afraid to witness for Jesus, evangelize for Christ. Most of us are fearful, okay? Most of us are fearful. A lot of you know the next series we're going to do is a series on work. And I've been doing a survey. And honestly, the number one thing coming in on that survey is talking about evangelism and your job and how to do that and being afraid and all this kind of stuff, okay? But listen, the way you overcome your fear is through the power of the Holy Spirit. In your flesh, you're always going to be afraid to be a witness because that's the natural state, okay? In your natural state, you're going to be afraid. In fact, in your natural state, you're not even going to want to be a witness, you know? But witnessing for Jesus is supernatural. And in Acts 1:8, we know the Bible says that Jesus said, I'm going up to heaven, but the Holy Spirit's going to come down. And what does it say in Acts 1:8? When the Holy Spirit comes, you shall be what? Witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes, you shall be witnesses. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So any of you growth leaders here in the service, there's a few of you sitting here, really make sure you dive in on that, okay? That was on Wednesday and Friday of the Growth Guide. Wednesday and Friday of the Growth Guide. Well, with that said, let's talk about grow by bringing. Grow by bringing. What can we do to grow by bringing? Number one, the goodness of God leads people to believe. The goodness of God leads people to believe. I mean, the Bible says in Romans 2, verse 4, knowing that, what? Underline this, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. God uses his goodness to lead people to repentance. And so we bring people by first modeling the goodness, the kindness, and the love of God. In other words, we have to be like a billboard for God of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. In other words, showing people God's goodness. And through God's goodness, what does that do? It brings people to God. And certainly the goodness that we need to most emphasize is the goodness of what God did in providing salvation for us. I mean, I love it. The greatest love story ever told. How many of you love stories? Anybody like love stories? Okay. Well, let me give you the greatest love story ever told. Here's how it goes. For God so loved, so loved, so loved. He so loved the world. That means the people, not just the physical world, but the people, the world. He so loved the world that he what? That he gave. That he gave. He gave what? His only begotten son. I mean, this is the goodness of God, that he didn't want any of us to go to hell, that he made a way for all of us to go to heaven. And it's by the goodness of God. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I mean, this idea of limited atonement, I'm not going to get into that, Dave, but it's straight out of hell, okay? That's where that comes from, all right? And if you believe that, you are deceived, okay? God, Christ died for the world. He died for all of the whosoevers, okay? He didn't die for some limited number of whosoevers. He died for the world. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Praise God. I'm not ever going to perish. I have no fear of hell because I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. When I die, don't say, you know, we lost Pastor Steve. You did not lose Pastor Steve, okay? Pastor Steve is very much found, okay? He's in heaven, okay? You didn't lose me, okay? You didn't lose me. I know where I'm going to be, okay? That if you will call on the Lord, you can be saved. That's the goodness of God. Isn't God good? God is so good. We need to speak only about the goodness of God, talking about speaking the truth, but do it in love, you know? Speaking the truth, but doing it in love. It's the goodness of God that leads people to believe. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance, the Bible tells us. And then number two, sharing your faith starts with having a relationship with others. I mean, most of us were brought to Christ through a team effort. I mean, when you think about your salvation, most of us, that's why the Bible talks about planting seed, all right? Because most people, when they come to Christ, it requires multiple hearings of the gospel. I mean, very few people hear the gospel one time and get saved. It happens, praise God, it does happen. But for many people, including myself, it takes multiple things. And that's why we have to build relationships. I mean, I can remember so vividly the summer of 1968. I remember I was at 6000 Edgewood Avenue, Lynchburg, Virginia, zip code 24502. I was on the back porch, and I vividly remember my mother clearly presenting me with the gospel. I'm sure she probably had done that before. I don't have the memory of it, okay? But my first recollection of anybody ever clearly giving me the gospel was my mother, okay? But I didn't make a decision that day, okay? But it was just a short time later. You know, I got to go and I've spent time with my uncle and my aunt and my cousins, and they were talking about Jesus. And then I went to Vacation Bible School, and they were talking about Jesus. And then I still hadn't got saved yet. And then they had a revival service, they called it, okay? And at the revival service, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, you know? Different people were touching me. All these different relationships were touching me, you know? And we got to realize that it's through relationships. It's through relationships. Developing relationships with people is the most important building block to becoming a bringer. You got to be intentional. You got to be intentional. You got to be intentional about building relationships for the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, underline this, so affectionately longing for you. Underline, this whole passage is powerful, but just this is the whole idea of relationships. It says, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. It wasn't Paul is saying, okay, it wasn't just we spoke the gospel, we spoke with our own lives. I mean, we were among you. We lived among you. And we imparted to you our own lives. And the last part of the verse underlined says, dear to us. You were dear to us. Paul is saying, you know, you were so dear to us. Do the people in your life know that you care about them? Or do they know that they mean something to you, okay? In verse 9, he talks about our labor and toil. See that? Underline that. Our labor and toil. When you go to work, I'm just kind of consumed by work because the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've read like 7 books on work, and I just can't get it off my mind. But the point is, you know, in the workplace, do you labor? Do you toil? You know, one of the ways that we represent Christ in the workplace is through a great work ethic. You know? When you get your paycheck, you know, whether they hand it to you or instant deposit or whatever they call that, okay? I mean, you know, you ought to feel like, okay, I did work for this, okay? I mean, that is Paul saying, we were among you and you saw our work ethic. You saw our work ethic. And in verse 10, he talks about how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves. Look at that word, behaved. How are you behaving with people? Well, he says, we were devout, we were just, we were blameless. We behaved ourselves. Isn't that powerful? We behaved ourselves among you. I'm not asking you, you're perfect. Nobody's perfect, okay? But are you behaving yourself, okay? Do you think you're representing Christ well? It's that old thing. If you're the only so-called Jesus or representative Jesus people ever meet, are they going to see the real thing? Are you the authentic thing that they're going to see? He says in verse 11, we exhorted. He says, we comforted. We charged. And then look at the end. He says, like a father does with his own children. Like a father does with his own children. See, we have to build these intentional relationships with people. I mean, some of you say, well, poor me, I'm the only Christian at my job. What are you talking about? Okay. Praise God, you're the only Christian at your job, that God Almighty would trust you enough to put you there as the only one, okay? That's God saying, boy, I got confidence in you, you know. I don't need a team here. I got you, okay? You can get the job done. Yeah. Praise God. Number three, one touch each week. One touch each week. Prioritize your time to invest in eternal things. Make at least one touch with someone each week. Now, I know that you know, we need to be sharing Jesus and trying to be a bringer every day, okay? But what we're talking about here is something very substantial, okay, where you're going to, like, take a good bit of time, you know, out of your busy schedule to really try to pour into somebody, to invest in them, to invest in them. And then to invite them to Christ, to invite them to church, okay? One touch a week, okay? I'm talking about something substantial, okay? You're putting forth some significant time. You're putting forth some significant effort one time a week. You know what? If all of us did that, okay? If every one of us did that, we could have such an impact. Such an impact for God. Are you willing to say, I'm going to make one touch? I mean, every week it's going to be something substantial that I'm going to do to represent Jesus. Then invest and invite. Invest and invite. The three D's, we call them. The three D's. Invest and invite. Develop friendships and show people you care. So the first D is to develop these friendships and show people you care. God uses personal relationships with people to bring people in a personal relationship with Him. Let me say it again. God uses personal relationships to bring people into a relationship with Him. And statistics tell us the overwhelming majority of people that come to Jesus come because of relationships. You know, one study was as high as 86%, okay? But every study, in fact, there was a new study just given by one of my mentors. He did this massive study of how people are coming to Christ. And it was really, it's really interesting. In fact, I'm trying to follow that as a guideline for what we're trying to do here, okay? But sure enough, just as all along, the number one thing was relationships. Yes, God uses other things. Okay, He can use other things, but I'm telling you, the number one thing God uses is relationships, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see, circle the word, see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. A man who has friends must show himself to be friendly. Okay? God's plan for friendship, if you want to have a friend, you must first be a friend. I don't have many friends. Well, that's pretty enlightening about you, okay? And it tells you something about you, right? You're sitting there wanting everybody to be your friend. Well, the Bible plan is if you want to have friends, you must show yourself to be friendly, all right? Discover stories. Find out, you know, there's a, you know, one of the things I think about, you know, when I see a door or house with a door on it, I often think, you know, there's a story behind every one of those doors. I mean, there's stories behind every one of those doors, you know. People have stories. So find out what's going on in their lives. Ask questions. Really listen, you know. Really listen. Find out what's happening in people's lives and help them to understand that. Then number three on the, or C on the back, discern next steps. So you build these relationships, you start getting to know them, you discover their story, and then you got to ask the Lord. And again, I love this, the Holy Spirit. You know, partner with God's Spirit. You know, what is God's Spirit doing? How is God's Spirit moving in this person's life, okay? Share yourself. Okay, first bullet, share yourself, share your faith, share the gospel of Christ, and then invite someone to church. Invite someone to church. I want to highlight a great bringer opportunity. We do a few what we call special days in our church every year. And one of the reasons we do this is to offer special opportunities to be bringers. In other words, to kind of have a talking point, if you will, or something to highlight, okay? And I just want to quickly highlight what's going to be happening here as our next series, okay? As our next series. It's going to be October the 1st. October, that's three weeks from today, okay? 3 weeks from today, we're going to be starting our next series. And the name of it is going to be Taking God to Work. Taking God to Work. For the longest time, okay, we have this board downstairs. I don't know if you've ever seen that board. I got a board down where we brainstorm and we come up with ideas and strategies and things like this, okay? And work has been up there for a long, long time, you know? And it's been on my heart, you know, to do something on work because, listen, that we're going to spend most of our life working, right? Okay. And are we taking God to work, you know? This is going to apply to students. It's going to apply to those that are retired, okay? But this is going to be a great bringer opportunity. So I want you to start thinking about this now and praying about this. In fact, the first next step on the back of your connection card is bring someone to church October 1st. Now, would you just, a better way to word that might be, I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to make a try. I'm going to put forth, some focus on this, okay? Would you make that a next step? Would you make that a next step that you are going to try to have somebody here for this new teaching series? And it's going to be bigger than a teaching series. We call it our spiritual growth campaign, and I'll say more about that later on, okay? But this is a great bringer opportunity. We're going to do some servant evangelism. We're going to be going out and passing out granola bars and invite cards to this spiritual growth campaign. So lots of good stuff are ahead, okay? Lots of good stuff are ahead. So here's the deal. Let's go back to Acts 2:41. Most of you have done 41. Not all of you, but most of you have received the word. You've been baptized and you've been added to this church. That's 90% of you, okay, sitting here. Some of you still need to do that. But have you gone to verse 47b, okay? Did your growth stop at 41? Did your growth stop at 41? Are you on 47 yet? Are you part of what God is using to add others to the church daily, you know? This is part of your growth track. And I can tell you, most Christians are stunted in this area. Most people have never grown spiritually enough to get to the point of being bringers. And so let's do it, okay? Let's take this next step. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Lord, I want to be part of a church like the first church, Lord. And I believe I am, Lord. I believe I am. Lord, I thank you for Capital Baptist Church. I thank you that we're a church that's leading people in a growing relationship with you, Lord. God, may that growth track get even greater and stronger in this church as a result of this series. Lord, help all of us to grow in bringing. Help me to grow in bringing, Lord. I need to grow more in this area, Lord. Help us all to grow in bringing. And Lord, we do pray for October 1st. We just pray for a tremendous day as we kick off this next teaching series, a spiritual growth campaign. In Jesus' name, amen.